You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome in to the Prospect Profits presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Alec Polito, joined by my co-host, not Lorenz today. We got Hunter Pickoff, just normal on the tailgate show. Unfortunately, Lorenz couldn't make it for our recording today, but the show must go on. On today's show, we'll be discussing NFL Week 9 and College Football Week 10. This is a daily podcast with analysts and experts, providing unmatched insight to the NFL, football, and fantasy football. We provide this feed ad-free, and all we ask in return is you leave us a five-star rating and check out our written content at si.com/NFL/draft. Hunter, how's it going, man?
Unfortunately, the great Lorenz cannot be here today. I'll just try my best to do my best Lorenz impersonation. I can't say I know as much about every single player that's ever played football like Lorenz does, but I will try my best to give some at least solid insight.
Yeah, I mean, that should be enough of the Lorenz hype train here. But yes, you're right. He knows everything that's ever happened about college football. I've never met someone who knows more about it, and I love it. It's great because I can lean on him for pretty much everything in the show. But today, we don't have him. That's all right. We'll be back with him on Thursday for a show. And then, of course, on Saturday for the tailgate show, which is probably where you know the NFL Draft Bible listeners. That's probably where you know Hunter from, as he's a normal on our Saturday coverage of college football. But today, we're just going to talk about some of the football that's happened this weekend, as we usually do on this podcast. Thank you guys for listening in. First, let's start off, as we always do, college football. And speaking of college sports, if you're listening to this tomorrow, which is when it will release on Tuesday, Hunter and I will be at the Duke-Kentucky game, the basketball game, a little switch up, but excited for that. But speaking college football here, listen, let's start off with the topic that I think is probably the most boring, because I think I know the answer. Can anyone compete with Georgia? I sit here, Hunter, and they win 43-6 over Missouri, whatever. I think their third strings could have won 43-6 over Missouri, and that's no slight to Missouri. It's just how good Georgia is. But, I mean, you look at this defense, there's probably 10 guys who are going to get drafted in the first four rounds. What do you think on this? It's insane.
Well, you talk about this Georgia team and how talented that defense is. And not only is it talented, but, like, they all work together as one unit as well. Because, of course, there's so many talented teams in college football that can get land five stars and stuff in the SEC and even outside of that conference. But Kirby Smart's done a great job having all these players buy into their role, not worrying about their stats or, you know, their individual accolades or what have you. And this is a really complete unit. And I'm very impressed, too, because Stetson Bennett, who is the backup quarterback, who started a lot of games, he comes in and he's, you know, making throws too. They scored 43 freaking points, Alec. That's a lot of points. That's not solely your defense. You know, your offense has to carry its weight too. And Bennett's got a lot of game experience. Who knows what JT Daniels is going to do, but I was pretty impressed with how he looked. He made some really good throws out there against Missouri, albeit Missouri is probably one of the worst teams in the SEC. But, you know, any given Saturday, Alec, you know, we saw a lot of the top teams, you know, lose games. Some of the top undefeated teams. Georgia does not seem like they're going to be losing anytime soon, though.
Yeah, and that's a great segue into the next topic we're going to discuss. But unfortunately, I had more to talk about on this one, so we can't segue just yet. But, hey, Kirby Smart also came out and said that, hey, Stetson Bennett's going to be the starting quarterback for the rest of the year. JT Daniels is not going to, because he thinks Stetson Bennett gives him the best chance to win. Now, I do think JT Daniels is a better quarterback than Stetson Bennett, but I can see where he's coming from on this. I mean, first of all, you're undefeated. Stetson Bennett has just gotten the job done. I don't think Stetson Bennett gives you anything remotely exciting from the quarterback position, but he gives you something safe. He doesn't necessarily like his arm strength is nothing near JT Daniels, but he's not going to make any mistakes. And JT Daniels has been a wild quarterback at times. Now JT Daniels likely has to go and move somewhere else again. Poor guy has been everywhere he goes. He seems to be unseated, but yeah, Georgia moves forward with Stetson Bennett. Any thoughts on that?
Like I said, I think Bennett's honestly a good quarterback. Is he going to be a first-round guy? Is he going to be an NFL guy? No. But we've also seen teams in the past, like Alabama, have great running games, a great defense, and Jacob Coker, who made an appearance, or a name drop, if you will, during our Saturday show. Was not expecting that. But, you know, like, you can win with a guy who can just get the job done. You just need everything else around him to be successful. And for him, Stetson Bennett, go make plays. But he made some good throws against Missouri. And again, it's Missouri. Sure. You know, it's going to be very different if it's against top-level teams. But he has that experience, Al. He was the guy last year, too. This isn't a guy who's not experienced at all. He understands the Georgia offense. He understands what's being asked of him. Clearly, Kirby Smart trusts him. JT Daniels is more so a guy who they just kind of roll the dice on, like, all right, let's just see what happens here. That doesn't shock me at all that Ben's going to be the guy. But I get to circle around to your question you originally asked because I totally missed it. Can anyone contend with Georgia? I do think so. I think Alabama is a team that could definitely do it. Let's not forget that Nick Saban always has those boys ready to go. You know, maybe if Oklahoma can get its act together, or Ohio State, they're picking up steam at the right time. Oregon as well. I don't think it's Georgia's the best team, but I don't think it's by a wide margin like maybe what we saw a few years ago with LSU, for example.
Yeah, speaking of which, Alabama had a close one against LSU this past weekend, and you talked about it, Alabama being probably the team that can compete the most. The thing is for me is I don't know if there is a team offensively that can compete against this Georgia defense. Now, this Georgia offense, I think, can be stopped. I think there's ways to stop this Georgia offense. I'm not slighting them, but clearly that's going to be the weak point of this team. You know, you got to have a defense to go at them that can combat their offense and then hope that your team gets a couple mistakes. I mean, look at what Clemson did to them. We talk about what Clemson's done this year. It's been horrible. Right? They have not been a great team. But if you look at what happened with Clemson so far this year, they're actually they took Georgia to a really good game. And it's because that defense is so smothering. Andrew Booth, you got Brian Bressy. There's a lot of guys on that defense that are NFL fell. And when you look at that and when you discuss like the possibility of a team beating them, what comes to mind? It's quite clearly Alabama. You know, Alabama's got a defense. They've got Will Anderson. They've got guys on that defense. Jordan Battle. Tons of players on that defense that are – and I'm missing, obviously, eight other NFL-caliber players on that defense. But just stating that their NFL-caliber defense, that's your best shot at beating Georgia. Now, Alabama already has a loss. So they're going to have to play Georgia. They're going to have to beat Georgia. They absolutely are going to have to beat Georgia when it gets to an SEC championship game, because they're not getting in probably with two losses. Now, I guess they could, but that's what you look at. The only other team to me that really stands out as a team that could potentially hit Georgia, and you might call me crazy, but Oregon's got a really good defense. They got some talented players, obviously Kayvon Thibodeau, but they've got some really good guys in that secondary, like Verone McKinley, DJ James, Mikhail Wright. They've got some guys on that back end that can compete with Georgia. Now, they're not as good as Georgia on the defensive side, but they at least can hold Georgia offensively. Whereas that run game and Anthony Brown, who's been very good this year, can almost not make mistakes, hopefully. And that might be your shot against Georgia, but those are just teams we can get into that for weeks. Let's talk about this Michigan State game. They get a little bit of a shocker, beat Michigan, come up in the first college football playoff ranking. They're number three. And who do they get to play is Purdue, who knocked off Iowa a couple weeks ago when they got up to this ranking. So they lose. Do they have a shot at getting back in this one?
Well, you have to at least say they have a shot because they're only one loss. The fact that they had a really good start to the season, if Michigan State wins out, they're probably going to make the college football playoff. It'd be hard to take a Big Ten champion with one loss not in there. So they control their own faith at this point, Alec. But And when you look at it long-term, Purdue losing to them, it's embarrassing, but it's probably not the end of the world because right. in the rankings and the standings in the Big Ten, it's not a loss to Ohio State and it's not a loss to Michigan, who are the two other teams that they're really competing for to win the Big Ten championship, if you will. So I don't think it's the end of the world, but watching that game, Alec, they got exposed pretty bad. I said it during the show on Saturday because I was the one who kind of covered that game, that Michigan State had by far the worst secondary in the entire Big Ten, and it showed against a really good passing attack led by Aiden O'Connell, who had over 500 yards against them.
Yeah.
So if they're going up against some of these elite teams that can really pass the ball downfield, Michigan State got exposed a little bit. So I'm curious to see if they are for real and if they can challenge some of these top teams in the conference.
Hey, I bet you that Ohio State coaching staff was writing down, hey, C.J. Stroud.
Yeah,
we got two first round Garrett receivers. Wilson, Chris Olave, Jackson Smith. I always forget the last part, but he's another outstanding player. Jeremy Rucker going to challenge that seam most likely. I mean, they're going to pass the ball like crazy, put the ball in ball's hands, and yeah, good luck. Good luck to Michigan State. I think Ohio State still ends up coming out of that Big Ten here, which is it's going to be hard to keep them out, especially with the only loss being to Oregon, who's ranked very highly, and a slightly competitive game that at least was. Let's go to we had a big matchup this week for quarterback one, potentially. Two high-end quarterbacks went at it. We also had a big performance for another quarterback who's in that conversation. I want to just go over a couple of these stat lines. Malik Willis for Liberty goes against Ole Miss. Obviously, probably the best defense he's played all year, or one of the better defenses talent-wise. Maybe hadn't put it together, but talent-wise. 16 of 25, 173 yards, 3 interceptions, and then 71 yards on the ground and 1 touchdown. Matt Corral, who's the Ole Miss quarterback, 20 for 27, 324 yards, 1 touchdown, also against a pretty talented defense in Liberty. And then Kenny Pickett goes against Duke, not as talented of a defense, but still in this conversation. He had a huge day, 28 of 43, 416 yards, 3 touchdowns, 57 yards rushing, and add another touchdown to that. They blew out that game pretty early on. These performances have been all around kind of this year. I mean, Matt Corral has been consistently good, but the questions with him, can he get good? Can he be good outside of that offense? Because that offense makes it very easy for him. Malik Willis has had some bad games, but you talk about it and you're like, well, who else around him is going to help him? It's Malik Willis or nothing. And we've seen that affect quarterbacks in the past, stat line wise. And then there's Kenny Pickett, who we talked about a pre-show, feels like he's been in college for 10 years, but finally coming into his own, starting to understand the game really like well. It seems that he's super intelligent, super competitive, and is really now just showing out. And the big questions that are going to come for him is Kenny Two Gloves going to be able to handle an NFL football? Because, you know, we looked up his age. It's 23. That's not terrible. It's not going to be a knock on him. Statistically, he's been phenomenal. He's basically been this Pitt offense, you know, no slights to them, but Kenny Pickett has been phenomenal for them. Can he hold an NFL ball? I mean, I think obviously he can. That's obviously an overstatement, but we'll see. He has to throw at the combine. You know, that's a lot of times they tell quarterbacks, like, oh, don't throw at the combine. He's going to have to show NFL teams that he can throw at the combine, and probably they're going to ask him to do it without gloves. That would be my guess. Especially his pro day as well. But they're going to want to see him throw at the combine. Any thoughts on these quarterbacks on how they played this week and I guess outlook for the draft?
Well, I think entering this weekend, it was the big matchup was Malik Willis versus Matt Corral. But you have to read it in between the lines a little bit here, Alec, because Liberty, yes, they're undefeated. They're a really good team, but they're not an SEC opponent like Ole Miss.
Right.
And Malik Willis got sacked, I believe, 6 or 7 times in the first half. He had no time at all to throw the ball. And yes, he's really athletic. We know he can make plays with his legs. But Alex, there's only so much he can do when the pocket collapses like that. Like, Malik Willis was basically just a deer in headlights that entire game. And Matt Corral did his thing. He made the plays he had to. Ole Miss didn't actually have to score a whole lot of points. I thought they dropped like 50 on Liberty. I think they only scored like 27, and 24 of those came in the first half. So they pretty much just cruise control from there on out. This game didn't really tell me much about any of these quarterbacks because, like, it's not like basketball where it's one-on-one, you're going up against each other. No, you're going up against the other team's defense, and you just happen to be playing each other. So this was not a very fair game from the start. Malik Willis, he's probably the hardest one to evaluate, maybe, just because it's like you play at Liberty, not playing the greatest competition. The weapons around him aren't even all that great either. No. And then Matt Corral in the offense, that's not realistically an offense he would run in the pros. So you want to see him take more snaps under center and things like that, because Ole Miss, that's just not how they run their offense. And then Kenny Pickett's the most interesting one, because they do run a more pro-style team with Pitt. It's funny because when I was at Penn State and Pitt had, I want to say, a 3 or 4 year, I think it was 4 year contract where they played each other every single year. And he was the quarterback for all those games. So I don't know how he's still here. And the fact he's only 23 years old, I'm like, oh my God, is this like a 5 year star of this guy? Like, Jesus Christ. But, you know, I guess he's going to follow Dan Marino's legacy. Probably not. But, you know, at this point, he played himself into a first round quarterback, which is crazy to think. Yep. Last year's draft wouldn't have been, but this year it's not a great quarterback draft. And a lot of teams need quarterbacks, it seems like. So, you know, maybe he makes a return to Steel City and, you know, is the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger. There's sort of some rumors about that. I don't know. But Kenny Pickett, he's had his best season so far, and he's definitely putting himself on the radar.
You know, what's interesting to me is, and we'll get into postseason, will be more so where we're getting into team fits and stuff like that, but it really jumps out to me that look at the quarterbacks that New Orleans has brought in. You know, Taysom Hill and Drew Brees, obviously, before that, Taysom Hill and Ian Book last year. All those quarterbacks were winning quarterbacks that didn't necessarily have that crazy arm talent. I think Kenny Pickett's better than obviously not Drew Brees, but better than Taysom Hill and Ian Book by a large margin. And it would be intriguing to me. New Orleans has been trying to get up and get up and get up and for years now to get their quarterback. It'd be really intriguing to get up or stay pat where they are and are able to select Kenny Pickett. I think that that might be an offense that's favorable. Obviously, Jameis Winston is still there, but Jameis Winston's been up and down a little bit this year. Obviously, now he's done for the season. I think that Kenny Pickett would fit in this offense because Sean Payton makes it fairly easy. The same could be said about Matt Corral potentially. Again, Sean Payton makes this offense fairly easy. Hopefully you're getting Michael Thomas back next year.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a good conversation to be had. Whereas I think Malik Willis would fit better in Pittsburgh, but that's that. We'll get more into those quarterbacks as the season goes. Hey, let's talk about, look, with Michigan State losing, I want to ask you, and I'm going to give mine too. Who are your top four projection for the playoff? Who do you think is going to be the top four in the playoff?
Well, I think it's tough because I think Georgia at this point has solidified their spot no matter what. I they might even be the one seed even if they lose to Alabama, weirdly. I don't know. Because so looking at Georgia, they're definitely the team that I look at as the team who at that number one spot could be pretty tough, because if they lose to Alabama, you kind of wonder, will they drop down to the number two or will they stay at the number one? I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that Alabama does, in fact, beat Georgia, and they get in the college football playoff. I think they're just a really talented team. I trust Nick Saban in a big game as much as anyone. I remember a few years ago, too, Tua Tagovailoa went out, and Jalen Hurts came in and did his thing and still beat Georgia. So I think Saban's just always had Georgia's number, and I think at least for now they'll get in the college football playoff. I'm going to say Oregon wins out, and they'll get in. But I do think if they lose, they don't get in as a two-loss team because, unfortunately, they lose one more spot. I'm going to say Ohio State. I don't feel great about their team, to be honest. It's probably one of a down year, but they're still really good. And I think being a one-loss Big Ten champion would help them. But watch out for Oklahoma, too, because if they go undefeated, then I don't know how you can leave them out.
Yeah, so you actually – I think you got my five there just in a little bit of a different order. For now, what I see it, I think that Georgia is a lock. Even if they lose to Alabama, they're a lock. As long as they don't lose to a couple teams where they shouldn't. I think that even if Alabama loses to Georgia, as long as they give them a game, I still think two-loss Alabama gets in. Now, they might have to play Georgia 2 weeks in a row because I think they'll probably give them the four seed if they're a two-loss team. But I think two-loss Alabama can still get in, and then Georgia plays them again. But even if they beat Georgia, they're in and likely the one or two seed. I still think that they'll get in, though. My other picks right now would be Oklahoma, because a lot of people are going to talk about this. Look, they're undefeated. They're going into next week undefeated. They're one of their undefeated teams left. Their close matches or close games were with Spencer Rattler at quarterback. Since Caleb Williams has taken over, now they've had some close games, but Caleb Williams has been phenomenal. And I just don't see them losing it to any Big 12 opponent before they get to that playoff. So I still think that if Oklahoma runs the table and goes undefeated and becomes our Big 12 champion, especially with a Big 12 that's got Oklahoma State in it, you know, there's some other teams in their pillar, the teams that have been ranked and been really good this season. I just don't see how you keep them out. And then Oregon, to me, is, you know, their one loss obviously is it's bad, but they've beaten Ohio State. They've beaten this Pac-12 up pretty good. I think Oregon gets in if they win out and win a Pac-12 championship. Now, the key here, though, is Ohio State. If Ohio State wins out, beating, they're going to have to play Michigan State. If they win all these games left and win a Big Ten championship, who do you keep out? You know, I think Oregon gets in because they beat Ohio State, and apparently the committee has started to favor that. That's, you know, as you can see with the rankings, they're clearly favoring head-to-head matchup wins or strength of schedule wins. So I think Oregon gets in, but Ohio State is a really good football team that you might have to get them in there as well. Maybe Oklahoma gets out, but I just can't see an undefeated Oklahoma getting knocked out. Now, if Oklahoma loses a single game, they're done. They just don't have the resume. They lose a single game, they're out. Alabama loses an easy one here or gets dominated by Georgia, we could see them potentially get skipped, right? So we'll see, but it's real intriguing as we go forward here. I think the playoff rankings will come out tomorrow. So today we're in your listener, but let's transition here over to the NFL quick. I just want to talk about a couple quick hitters here. Titans beat the Rams last night, Sunday night, without Derrick Henry. Titans, I feel like, were not talked about before the season. I had said that I thought they were going to win the South. And Lorenz, I think, shout out to Lorenz. I think he told me he just didn't see it with them. And now the Titans are, and that's not a brag. It's just, he was probably right. I just didn't, I saw the Titans carrying Derrick Henry again, but now Derrick Henry obviously being out. Titans a legit contender.
They have to be, Alec. Well, okay. Yeah. I'm going to pause a little bit here. They're a legit contender if Derrick Henry is back. I don't care if they just beat the Rams on the road. I mean, I do care. It's a great win and just shows you that this team is more than just Derrick Henry. But when you don't have your best player, Alec, it is pretty damn hard to go to the Super Bowl and win it. You know, like, I think the only other time I could really think of was when the Eagles went on that crazy run without Carson Wentz there. And now we look at Carson Wentz and it's like, was he really all that good? Like,
right.
He did have a great year, though. Give him credit, I guess. But Derrick Henry is a monster. They're going to need him. Shout out to Jerry McNichols and I think Devontae Foreman too. A little bit of a throwback there from his Texas days. And Adrian Peterson, who they just got. So their run game did look pretty good. Defensively, phenomenal. You're going up against one of the best offenses in the NFL in the Rams. Matt Stafford looked pretty bad that game. I don't think he particularly played well. But when you watch that game too, Jeffrey Simmons dominated. He had 3 sacks in the first half.
Such a good player.
Like, probably the best game he played in his entire career. And he, like you said, Alec, is a really talented player. They were getting pressure from all over the place, both on the edge and in between the tackles or in between the guards as well in those 3 gaps. Looking at the Rams, though, I think this is just like a bad game for them. Of course, you want to see them win if you're a Rams fan, but they had their most penalties they've committed all season long. They actually led the league in the least amount of penalties. So you just hope that if you're Rams, you clean up a little bit for future mm-hmm. weeks. But this is a great win for the Titans. 7-2, you got to be feeling really good about yourself. And then when they bring back Derrick Henry, Julio Jones also looked pretty good that game too, and they've been trying to get him going all season long, and maybe finally now he's healthy, he can do his thing, because that was obviously a big trade right. they made this offseason. So, yeah, you just got to ride the wave for the Titans. Just hope Derrick Henry can be healthy, because if he's not, I unfortunately think they will fall short. But the AFC is a bit vulnerable, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, they're a little bit lucky here, because I don't think it's going to take too many wins. They're already at 7, I think. I think they're at 7 now.
7-2,
right? Yeah. It's not going to take too many wins for them to get out of the AFC South when you talk about Jacksonville, Houston, and an underperforming Indy. But, you know, I just want to say, too, I thought that the biggest for this defense for the Titans was when they lost Logan Ryan. They lost a lot in that defense. Now, I'm not saying that Logan Ryan was a defensive player of the year, but that defense really started to struggle because he was coming from that New England coaching tree. The safety is more so your quarterback of that defense. And Logan Ryan, very intelligent football player, was the quarterback of that defense now with the Giants. Elijah Molden is a phenomenal football player that they were able to bring in. And I think that that infuse of Elijah Molden into that defense, into that role that Logan Ryan was playing, has been so phenomenal for them. And the defense has started to pick it up again. They're going to have to lean on that defense a little bit. Without Derrick Henry now, I think that the running game is going to have to get going a little more than it was. But you're right. This team can compete. And, you know, when you talk about the weapons that they've got on this team, they are a legit contender right now. Now, they're Buffalo-Buffalo-gold. Maybe Buffalo's not the favorite. You know, the Titans have beaten Buffalo. I think that there's a legit outcome for the Titans to be not only in the Super Bowl, but Super Bowl champions. So we'll see how that goes. But I think that that's going to be a real interesting one to look at here. Let's go to the Cardinals. Not only winning, but they kind of dominated without Kyler Murray. And before the season, there was a lot of talk about, is Cliff Kingsbury the answer, or is he the coach for that team? They are now, I believe, 8-1, something like that, 7-1, 8-1. Is Cliff off the hot seat for good?
I mean, I really don't think he is. I still okay. think he, here's why. I'm not entirely sold on him. I kind of more so look at his team like, look how freaking talented they are. Like, Kyler Murray, I mean, I know he didn't play. AJ Green didn't play. DeAndre Hopkins didn't play. But he's right. got four legitimately really good wide receivers on that team.
Yes.
They solved their running game issues. Chase Edmonds been good. James Conner has been an absolute freak at the goal line. The dude's just right. scoring at will. I believe he had 3 touchdowns yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, or 2 or 3. And something then like defensively, that. This team's great too. Of course, Chandler Jones, he had a down year last year. This year, though, not having a down year. I think he had, 5 sacks to start the season that week one. Dude went crazy. They got Buda Baker back there as well. Isaiah Simmons is coming into his zone. So they got elite talent at so many different positions. It's almost pretty hard for Kingsbury not to screw it up. So we'll see in the playoffs. Will they fold at the end of the season? We'll see. Are they going to be an easy out in the playoffs? I don't know. I'm not going to say it's a Super Bowl bust season for the Cardinals. But at this point, they've put themselves in a position where they probably are a Super Bowl caliber team, Alec, at least talent-wise. So can Kingsbury come through and just kind of build off the last topic, too? Are we ever going to give Mike Vrabel his credit that he deserves? I think he's one of the best right. coaches in football. Every single season since he's been there, the Titans have been a really good team. Now Absolutely. They don't even have their best player, and they're still winning games. So, you know, we Such talk about all the top coaches. Intelligent
football mind, and something's got to be discussed here, too, about Mike Vrabel. A lot of people
coach of
have
the year?
Yeah, it could be. But a lot of people have talked about, and it should be noted here, you know, he uses his best players. Derrick Henry, he is not afraid to go, look, the NFL's passing league, I don't care. I'll hand it to this guy 30 times a game because I know that my best player, matchups-wise, you can't stop him. Maybe in the first half, but not in the second half. He will wear you down. And he knows that. Now, talk about the long-term health of Derrick Henry because the unfortunate aspect of this is there is never going to be, or I don't think there's going to be a second coming of Derrick Henry and what he is. So when they lose Derrick Henry, how do you replace that? There's going to be a lot of scheming that they'll have to do and figuring out. But yeah, he's not afraid of that. And he's been such a phenomenal coach since he entered the league. You're right. Got to give him credit. Kingsbury, I'm going to give him credit this year. He is, you know, I think you're right. I think that he has it fairly easy with how many things that he's got going right for him in that offense. But I think that he is still doing well this year, and someone who I thought probably shouldn't have had that job is at least keeping things going. And I don't think Super Bowl or bust, but I do think that they need to at least do something in the playoffs. This can't be a team that goes 13-4 or something like that and then lose first round of playoffs, or if they don't get the bye, or second round, whatever. They got to do something in the playoffs. But yeah, I think that I think that he's at least eased the seat is cooling, at least. Von Miller, longtime Bronco, Super Bowl MVP, gets traded to the Rams. Let's do a quick hitter on this one. Obviously, Von Miller helps the Rams without a question. But the more interesting thing to me here is Broncos sell if they were going to sell. They just sold Von Miller. They could have sold Melvin Gordon. They could have sold who I thought was the best option for the Titans. What, I don't know why they didn't completely sell here, if you got a quick thought on this.
Well, I think with Von Miller, he's on the last year of his deal. I guess there's probably talks that he probably wasn't going to return. So mm-hmm. I think the Broncos maybe did him a solid because of everything he's done for that organization. Of course, being a Super Bowl MVP against my beloved Carolina Panthers, that was tough to watch. And 2016, I think that game was. But I guess they kind of did him a solid. Like, hey, you know, I think the saying was, I fell asleep. Like, what do you say? I fell asleep 4-3, woke up like 7-1 or something like that. That I think that's what Von Miller said in his press conference, his introductory conference. But Von Miller is going to be a great player for this Rams team. Based on last night, they might need him a little bit. And then it just makes this Rams team that will sell draft picks like it's nothing. Right. They don't value him at all. And they just made themselves an even scarier threat to win the Super Bowl.
Right. Well, hey, that's all we got for you guys today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will be back on Thursday with a Prospect Profit show, and then Saturday for the Tail of the Show. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Prospect presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. We'll be back with more Prospect Profits next week. But be sure to tune in tomorrow to hear our friends at the Dynasty Draft Room. Thank you so much again.